Okay. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Pony Development Sync for July 11th, 2018. Let's look at some PRs, starting with 2816 add SSL ALPN support. I'm not an expert on SSL ALPN at all. I don't know if you are, Joe, or anybody else. I mean, this looked reasonable to me, being completely ignorant.
Yeah, I don't know a lot about the ALPN myself, but given that it's a new feature, put forward by this contributor. No one's depending on it yet, so if there are bugs, they can be addressed. I mean, I don't see any glaring style issues or, bad design patterns. It seems to have been, following the RFC. It included the default refcap changes that I recommended in the RFC thread. Yep. So,
Cool. I'm going to merge it then. That's pretty much what my thinking was.
Yeah.
That is not his first. That's right. It's not his first. All right. Sweet. See, now we actually have something to release to. 2812, which I definitely don't feel. I don't feel like I'm qualified for this one. 2812. What about you, Joe?
I am taking a quick look.
And Gordon, have you checked that out with the WScript change stuff as well that's in there?
I haven't seen it, so I'll take a look now.
This would be fixing 2776.
So, Hank says the root cause of the bug is that when LLVM is compiled in release mode and PonySeq is compiled in debug mode, the code generated for expected template is different and incompatible. Specifically, when in debug is not defined, the assert is checked method is not a no-op, and the associated checked variable are defined. I think, Dippin's been commenting about this. It looks like, Dippin ended up with a looks good from his understanding, but not sure his understanding is complete.
Superficially it looks good to me.
Pass all the tests.
Yeah, nothing in here looks dangerous to me in terms of breaking things, and I think that the logic put forward in the description makes sense to me.
Merge it?
Yeah, I think so.
Alrighty. Rebased and merged. Boom. Let's see. I don't think he did that in a fashion, so it's going to auto close the issue. And not okay. Closed by, what was that issue number? 27. Closed by, what was that? 2812, was it? 2812,
yeah.
Okay. Close and comment. Thanks. So, okay. Dun, 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 dun. All right. 2810 Dippin. This is you. So we got Joe. Joe could also weigh in on the time nanos thing.
Yes. Yeah, so, basically, Joe, what I did was in my second to last comment I put on there, basically for the synchronous benchmarks, I kept the ifdef and I set it to use time.perf and time.perf again and perf end if it's x86, otherwise use time.nanos. Given Sylvan's earlier explanation, it seemed that would be best because it would allow synchronous benchmarks to be able to benchmark functions that are not doing a lot of work, while otherwise with time.nanos, it might not be as reliable for benchmarks.
Yeah, I think that, yeah, this makes sense to me given the discussion we had the other week. So, yeah.
Cool.
I think that's a reasonable way to move forward with this PR. You know, because this PR is not focused on that. You know, it's supposed to be focused on CI for other architectures. So I think, you know, given that, this makes sense.
Cool. The other thing to note about this, from my comment before the one from Sean, is in terms of what's passing and what's failing. Right now, ARM64 fails for LLVM6. And x86 32-bit fails for all versions of LLVM. Now, all of these are in the PR, but they are either disabled or marked in Travis as being able to fail without failing the entire build, which is why everything still shows as all checks have passed, even though if you click in to look at what Travis CI's output was, you'll see that in Travis 4 builds failed. I think it's still worth merging that as is to prevent other regressions for things that are currently passing. And then when these gets the currently failing ones get resolved, we can mark them also as being something that should be allowed to that shouldn't be allowed to pass even though the build fails. That makes sense.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's. Yeah, let's, you know, yet again, this pull request is just about getting a CI going on those. So don't pass yet. That's totally, you know, it's we know it's better that we know that now.
And then over time, if someone does fix them, CI will already be there so that they can, we can be sure that they did resolve it.
So. Yeah. So I'm going to merge this. Dippin, can you drop a note on the last week in Pony about how this has been this was committed, it was set up, and which ones are currently failing, so that we could, and with a little bit of a call to, hey, if you're interested in getting these fixed, you know, this, you know, it's there in CI now, and folks could start working on it, and you know, then hopefully maybe we'll get some folks will know about it, and maybe. Maybe somebody might be interested in getting those fixed.
Yeah, I can do that.
Cool. All right. Merging. Boom. Merged. Merged. See, update license file. This would be just changing the date. 2708. Thank. Let's see. First time contributor. Thanks. Gonna rebase merge that. Rebase and merge. Confirm rebase and merge. Look at all those fancy things that have happened. Okay. There's the LLVM submodule one, but I'd want more people around before we do that. I don't know if anyone saw it. 2818. The Open Collective folks, we were accepted. I haven't really had a chance to go through it yet. They opened a PR, which would update some things in relation to that. But I'm just going to leave that as something we can discuss at a future point in time when I actually have a chance to really understand the rest of what's going on with Open Collective. And we could also have a chance to talk about, okay, if we start raising money, what are we going to tell people we're going to spend the money on? right? So leave that for now. Hey, this is a good one. Issue 2822. I think this is a bug. Joe, I don't know if you saw it, but I feel like this is a bug with the recover stuff, and you know a lot about the recover stuff, so you'd probably be a good person on that. 2822.
All right, reading. I'm going to edit the comment real quick, see if it's intact. I can let it just pick that up.
For the folks who are listening at home, this one is called Wrong Reference Capability for Element of Array Literal and Recover Block. Is it specifically just with the array literal, Gordon? Or
yeah, if you look at the line that says let Z equal baz of F,
mm-hmm.
It's showing that it's passing F to baz, which expects a foo box.
Oh, weird. Yeah. I had missed that when we talked about it. I didn't realize that was the case. Okay, that's even weirder.
Does it make a difference without the recover? Like if you were not recovering at all to a foo vowel, have you tried that already?
No, I can try that just right now.
Okay, I can also load it up in the program. I'm curious. I think the recover might be a red herring, but it would be interesting if it was not.
He goes to try this out.
Yeah. So even if you remove the print statement at the end and you remove the recover block, so it's just...
Yeah, it happens without the recover, too. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so... the recover is a red herring, and I think...
I don't necessarily understand this stuff as well as everyone, but I noticed that if I change let underscore children read seek foo box val to foo box ref and change the same thing in new create to be foo box ref, everything runs successfully even with the recover.
Yeah. Yeah, so let me take a quick look at how I wrote the code that tries to do the read capability. Load that up real quick. Okay, so if you look at the source / libpony c / expression / array dot c, there's on line 382, we grab Yeah, so we have a comment. There's if there's no recover statement between the antecedent and type in here, and if the array literal is not a subtype of the antecedent type, but would be if the object cap were ignored, then recover it. I think, yeah, I think this may not be the right approach, but or rather, we need something in addition to this. So, yeah, this is where the tag element is coming from. It's inserting in. So, what's happening here is, it builds the array type from. It builds the array type and it comes out with array of foo box, and it says is it a subtype of the antecedent type array foo tag, and because in Pony array of even if A is a subtype of B, array A is not a subtype of array B, ever. The answer is no. And it says, okay, well, if we ignored capabilities, would it be a subtype? And in this case, the answer turns out to be yes, I guess. What it does from there is it does its last-ditch effort to try to do a recover, and see if that helps things. In this case, it doesn't help things. It just turns. I said a few things wrong in that previous explanation. When I said the right-hand type came out as array foo box, it doesn't. It comes out as array foo ref, and the left-hand type comes out as array foo box. So even though foo ref is a subtype of foo box. Array of foo ref is not a subtype of array foo box, so it tries to do this recover statement what it needs to do is something else, like, right, it needs to recognize first that it needs to recognize that the element type is a subtype already and not try to do anything else fancy from here. Yeah, I'm writing that comment. You guys can feel free to move on if you want.
One moment. Let's see here. Okay. Okay. What do we have here? I don't think that we really how about 2740? Shh. this seems to be probably would be a bug with FFI where there is no bar that's actually defined, is what I would assume here. But it's a mighty odd way that it's expressing itself. Seems to be an odd combination of things. Coming from the reachable FFI. Do you know what's supposed to happen if you try to use a foreign function, Joe, if it's not defined? Like, what is the error you get? I've never actually done it.
Sorry, I'm not looking at it right
now. You don't get an error, Sean. It gets implicitly defined.
It gets what?
You don't have to have a use statement for every foreign function. It gets implicitly defined.
Okay.
And it's not the foreign function. I think in the comment he says that if he moves the same FFI call from foo into create, everything works correctly.
Right, but...
It's some combination of the fact that the FFI call is happening through...
I'm not sure what... Well, I think it would work correctly. I mean, at that point, you should run into a linking error.
Right, but it does, the compiler doesn't set fault is what I mean.
Right.
The link error is a separate thing, but the compiler side faulting seems to be related to calling the FFI through a function as opposed to calling the FFI straight through create.
So, and it's... It's also, it's specifically a function called from inside of the create, right? Like if you put the exact same thing inside of Baz and because Baz doesn't get called, then it doesn't go kaboom. That makes sense? I'm gonna update the issue anyway with that.
It's kind of weird.
All right. Well, what particular are we looking at? I just finished my comment on issue 28.22.
It'd also be interesting to see if it happens because no, it's not optimization. It's
2740, Joe.
Yeah, could be an issue with the deferred reification stuff that Benoit added somewhat recently. I see that's part of the call trace.
Hmm. Good point. Good point. You want to drop a note on that, and we can leave the discussion during sync and come back and take a look at it. So. Something probably related to the deferred reapply with it getting called inside of the create, I guess. right, we're at the halfway point. Does anybody have anything that they want to discuss?
I guess a quick thing worth discussing related to the cross-compiling thing that we just merged.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of just picked a few architectures. Is there like a specific list of architectures we choose to support? For example, I didn't add ARM V8 32-bit in there. That's an option that could be added. The Lenovo folks, the toolchain that I'm using, they have like, I think, 8 or 9 or 10 different triples that they offer the compiler for. So in theory, we could have all of those.
I'm not an ARM expert, so I'm not the right person to be answering that. Sylvan certainly would probably have thoughts.
Okay, all right. I can bring it up next time, I guess. I have something similar partly done for FreeBSD, and Dragonfly should work similarly to FreeBSD, so hopefully that'll happen soon. But I guess the other question is 32-bit support versus 64-bit support. Do we want 32-bit support for FreeBSD plus Dragonfly? I don't know, Dragonfly doesn't have 32-bit, but for FreeBSD also, or only 64-bit?
I'm pretty sure the 32-bit doesn't work right now.
It doesn't work for x86 normal either, so...
Well, for FreeBSD, right? I'm pretty sure the 32-bit is busted.
Yeah. For Linux, it's also busted right now. That's what I meant.
Oh, okay. All right. So, yeah, that's probably a thing we should... Let's get it fixed for Linux first, and then we can worry about it for BSD. Let's just start with the BSDs for...
Okay. Makes sense. 64-bit first. Got it. Thanks.
Yeah. Then we don't have any new issues. So anybody got anything else? Okay, I have one thing then. I think we should rename Pony Stable to just Stable, seeing how that's what the command is. And also Pony Stable is just horribly confusing. I think we actually call it Stable in most places. But that would mean renaming some packages and stuff as well. Thoughts on that? I think it's worth the pain.
I think it makes sense to me. I had a coworker at my company actually reach out and say, tell me this was, I didn't realize that people thought it was confusing, but you know, he talked to me about it, and I said, oh, yeah, I could see why that's confusing. I think that makes sense.
All right. I'm going to open an issue for this where we can track it.
Would it be worth renaming it to something like Barn so that there's no ambiguity at all?
I think there's a reasonable argument to be made for that. Joe, you're the one who initially named it. What do you think?
We think that there's, you know, like I like the pun, but I realize that the fact that it's a pun can be confusing. My judgment is clouded about puns because I just love them so much. something like Barn or Ranch or even just like Pony Package, I don't care much. It could be named, let's just maybe in that ticket, start collecting a few ideas, and then, you know, people can just put some ideas forward and then maybe, people can, if each idea is posted in a separate comment, we can get like thumbs up counts or something in GitHub.
Okay. Let's see. We would need to rename. Okay. info and any packages. You want to? I just added an issue for that, Gordon. You want to add barn as a suggestion.
Sure.
To that, please submit your thoughts on below, and we can vote on them if you like a particular name. Please use the.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care much what it ends up getting named. I'll probably draw the line at My Little Pony references, but
yeah, I like barn. Barn is good.
Other than that,
and barn is short too, so that's good. Yeah, that's 75 on Pony Stable, Gordon.
I actually thought of something that I'd like to talk about. It's related to like maps specifically, but I think it affects other things also. For example, right now we have the map, and then we have the map stuff. And it's if I want to use one or the other, I have to explicitly define which one I'm using. And I was just wondering, is there any reason why we don't have both of them share a common interface where for the things that are common at least, and then for the special things that the persistent one can do, you can always cast it as needed? Is there any reason that we wouldn't want to do something like that?
So I think this is something that came up in the past. Let me see if I can dig up the discussion of it. I think that it's not really feasible, just because of the way persistent map for example, you could talk about this with any collection, but map is a good one to talk about. Persistent map versus map, like map all of the methods that the mutation methods are. Normal map their ref. So I think it ends up, I'll see if I can pull up the discussion, if I can find it. I'm poking around in GitHub issue tickets, but I think that, you know, when you talk about like what's actually common between the two, it ends up not being too much, just because the reference capabilities involved are so different. I don't know that it's actually useful, but I mean, if
okay,
you can find something useful, then let's do it. But yeah,
I haven't looked in detail at things. I hadn't thought about the reference capability differences, but I had assumed, if like in map, most of the things on persistent map were also, you know, ref related, then it would match up easily. But yeah, that's a good point. I was just thinking from the perspective of, you know, it would be useful to have these things be interfaces. Then, for example, someone could come up with a different sort of map implementation that they could use and stub into the same interface or you know, it's not interface, trait, whatever, either one, right? I thought the same thing might apply for, you know, something like an array. Right now we have an array implementation, which is great. In some cases it might be used to have like a sparse array implementation, which you know, interface wise you want to work very similar to the current array, and that's the main reason. I thought maybe one of the reasons it wasn't done was, you know, the overhead of the virtual ball dispatch. That's so I figured I'd ask, but yeah. I'll take a closer look and I'll bring it up again if I feel like it might be doable.
Yeah, I mean, I think, it would probably be fairly easy to have something like, you know, we have ReadSeek for handling, you know, like the read-only aspect of like arrays and lists and all that kind of stuff. We could probably have something like ReadMap or something along those lines that, you know, would provide things like, you know, up to the apply method, like the size method, and maybe a couple other things that would be common between persistent map and mutable map. But yeah, and there may be some value in doing that. So, you know, I'd welcome like an RFC to discuss that. I think there are a lot of things, like I definitely agree with you that having some interfaces, you know, between the two would be nice. Another place where this got brought up was talking about like promises, like if you had different styles of promises that handle things differently, if there's, you know, some common interfaces we could share between the two. Like, for example, we have an RFC that's open right now, RFC... we have an open RFC for unique promises because currently promises only support shareable element types. So and that's because the apply function might be called, you know, more than once on each one. And so we can't have a uniqueness like an ISO passed in there. And so Benoit has this RFC, the ticket number is 14, to talk about unique promises, which would accept ISO val or tag instead of just val or tag. But, you know, there's kind of some open questions about how does this interact with the existing promises we have. And, you know, I kind of raise another point where I've found myself often wanting to use an alternative promise implementation in some programs I've written that has a value object attached to the error case instead of just, you know, the error case having no value. I've often found it useful to have an error value attached there. And so there's just kind of some open questions about how those interfaces, if we could have some common interfaces between them so that they could be they could interact with each other instead of just with their own type of promise. That would be really cool for the language. I think there's the same cases to be made, you know, like you were saying on collection types. So I would be definitely, you know, open to having, you know, some interfaces available as part of the standard library that, you know, brought out some of these commonalities where they made sense.
Makes sense. I'll look into the collection side of things only because that just it came up to me because I was thinking of maybe doing a map implementation with Ron Robin, the Robin Hood hashing, just like for the Pony runtime. And I figured, well, I don't want to just replace the current implementation. It'd be better to kind of have it as an alternate option for people to use. So that's the main reason the interface idea came up to me. So I'll take a closer look into it, and then I'll try to open an RFC.
Yeah, just on that thread, I have it's incomplete right now, but I have another alternative map implementation that does rehashing incrementally instead of all at once.
Right. I remember you mentioning that once, yes.
Yeah, so, it's still in progress, but it follows the same logic that, you know, hey, you know, where you don't care, you know, you should be able to insert any of those.
Yep, definitely.
And having a standard library would be, I just don't know if it's going to be compatible with persistent map, but we can probably make it compatible with these two other maps.
Right. Makes sense. It just felt like, from what I understood about persistent map, it was the goal was to offer everything that the regular map did, plus on top of that you had that kind of the persistent older versions available also, which is why I thought maybe it could work. But I, as I mentioned, I haven't taken a detailed look into it yet. I'll take a look and then open our reporting list. Thanks.
Cool.
Okay, I think that's it, unless anybody's got anything else. Anything?
Nope, I'm good.
Cool. Well, then I'll see everyone. So, okay, I'm going to miss this on next week. I think. I'm at OSCON. Joe, would you be able to be me and run it next week, do you think?
Maybe. I have a client on site next week, so maybe not.
Okay, I'll ping other folks and see who could do it. All right. And I don't know if Sylvan will be around next week. I know that they go on vacation soon. So we'll see. All right.